Just for his distinctive brawny tenor sax and his exceptional and haunting work on bass clarinet, David Murray would be regarded as a major figure in jazz. But then you must add to that Murray's restless creativity and intense productivity, his willingness to play everything from free improvisation to straight-ahead bop to Grateful Dead songs, and his ability to work in formats that range from solo settings through various small group combinations up to the octet he appears with here. It's a formidable set of accomplishments from one of the hardest working and most talented players in jazz. Murray's first music lessons came from his mother, a pianist in a Pentecostal church who worked with the Edwin Hawkins Singers. He took up saxophone and worked in soul and R&B bands as a teenager. Murray relocated to New York City from the West Coast in the mid-70s, where he became involved in the loft and experimental scenes, performing with the Music Revelation Ensemble with guitarist James Blood Ulmer, and in Jacques Dijonette's Special Edition, among other projects. He was also a founding member of the pioneering single-instrument ensemble, the World Saxophone Quartet. Among Murray's many more recent projects are the African hip-hop and jazz meld of the Faux Duke Review, Haitian and gospel-inspired recordings, tributes to both John Coltrane and the Grateful Dead, and further projects with the World Saxophone Quartet. Few artists could master the range and energy of David Murray's many different musical worlds, and that fiery creativity is sure to be on display once again when he performs here at the 2000 Chicago Jazz Festival.
Good evening again. It has been more than three decades since John Coltrane left us. The combination of his technical brilliance and spiritual intensity left his listeners exhilarated, yet also emotionally exhausted. His figure still looms large in the music. The planning committee for this festival has spent a long time trying to come up with a tribute that would pay homage to this great giant of the music. It's not surprising that David Murray is the leader of the group we finally selected to do this. Since his move to New York in the mid-70s, David has been one of our most important tenor saxophonists and band leaders. His move to New York coincided with the arrival of Hammett Blewett, Julius Hemphill, and Oliver Lake, and with an important assist from Kid Jordan, the legendary New Orleans educator and saxophonist, led to the formation of the World Saxophone Quartet, one of the great groups of the last 25 years. David was one of the first of his generation to appreciate the possibilities of medium-sized ensembles. This octet showcases wonderful arrangements, fiery solos, and tenacious ensemble playing. Please welcome them as they pay tribute to a great giant of the music, John Coltrane.
For your warm applause. I'm very happy to have on trombone Mr. Craig Harris. Craig Harris, Slide Ride. New light on the scene in New York, Mr. Lafayette Gilchrist. Lafayette Gilchrist. From Detroit, who's also really doing a lot of things in New York, working with everybody. Jaribu Shahid. Jaribu Shahid. Bass from Milwaukee originally, and he and his brother are the Johnson Brothers of Jazz. Mr. Mark Johnson, great drummer, Mr. Mark Johnson. And on trumpet, who's had a short hiatus from the band, but he's back now. He has a new album out called A Day in Harlem. And we're talking about Mr. Hugh Reagan. Hugh Reagan. Afternoon in Harlem. Okay. I've been informed. And also on trumpet, a gentleman who's spent a lot of time here and also in St. Louis And I know he's your favorite, Mr. Rasool Siddiq. Rasool Siddiq. And an alto saxophone from the original Night of the Cookers, the great Mr. James Spalding. James Spalding. We're gonna start off with a composition by Coltrane, Lazy Bird.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next composition is a piece that I wrote for John Coltrane. It's called The Crossing Into His Promised Land. Okay, now we're going to get to the spiritual side of Mr. Coltrane. Acknowledgement from a love supreme. You all know the words. Thank you. Okay, everybody, palms up. Palms up, everybody. All right, you remember this, right? Okay, you're gonna help us out with this.
A love supreme, love supreme, love supreme, love supreme, love supreme, love.
Let me hear you out there. You know that.
Love supreme, love supreme.
Train, train, John Coltrane. Train, John Coltrane. JC, Jesus Christ, John Coltrane. Allah supreme, Allah supreme. Buddha, JC, John Coltrane. Allah.
I love supreme, I love, love supreme, I love supreme, I love, I love supreme.
We'll be right back.
The David Murray Octet. The David Murray Octet.
David Murray and his octet wrapping up a hot performance here at the 2000 Chicago Jazz Festival. And a wonderful lineup of folks. It's, you heard David introduce at the beginning of the set with Lafayette Gilchrist, Craig Harris, Mark Johnson, Hugh Reagan, Jarbo Shahid, Rushel Sadek, and James Spalding, a part of the lineup. And a wonderful performance and a fiery set. We'll have a chance to talk to David Murray, talk to him a little bit about the many, many projects that he's up to these days and a little bit about what we just heard coming up in just a minute.
Can't miss with giant steps, can you?
It's hard.
Okay. Well, we'd like to say hello to some radio stations that are listening to this broadcast across the country. WKMS in Murray, Kentucky. WEFT in Champaign, Illinois. WOUB, WOUC, WOUH, WOUL, and WOUZ, originating in Athens, Ohio. Also, KUT in Austin, Texas. WFIT in Melbourne, Florida. KHNA in Hastings, Nebraska. Nebraska Public Radio, and WCBE in Columbus, Ohio. You're listening to the 22nd Annual Chicago Jazz Festival. We'll be back in just a moment with more music from the Petrillo Music Shell in Grant Park. So stay with us. This is the WBEZ 2000 Chicago Jazz Festival Network.
Chicago Jazz Festival here in Grant Park. I'm Chris Heim with my broadcast colleagues Richard Steele and our special guest commentator for this evening, Kurt Elling. And also joining us here in just a sec, the man that you just heard on the tenor saxophone, David Murray. David, thanks for taking a minute to come join us after the performance this evening.
No problem. Thank you for having me here.
Listen, let me ask you a particular question about the performance we heard tonight in one of your many recent projects. Why Coltrane?
Well, you know, when I was young, everybody was going after Coltrane, and I didn't go in that direction. So once I matured, I guess, and went through all of my different changes, I decided to deal with Coltrane now because it's a good time. So in fact, you know, a lot of the people that went after Coltrane on their instruments, a lot of them kind of ran into a wall because Coltrane was so powerful that a lot of people were devastated by his music. And especially saxophonists, they pretty much ran out of things to do. Coltrane just pretty much encompassed everything that you thought about. But being a musician who's recorded a lot of things now, I feel like I have earned the right to really deal with Coltrane now. And I feel that it's a good time now for me that I'm comfortable in what I do.
Let me ask you a question kind of in a broader sense. We've seen in recent years, especially with some major centennial birthdays like with Armstrong and Ellington and some other artists, that people have kind of begun to rethink those artists and what they really meant. Do you have a sense of really Coltrane's place, and do you think our perspective on him has changed at all in more recent years?
Well, I think that most artists that I know, like tenor saxophone players who are well-known, established, when they go to study, I think Coltrane is what they study. I'm talking about some great artists that we know who are even my senior. Coltrane is what they study is because his work was it was harder than everybody else's. He was thinking about a lot of things. He was thinking about extensions of chord changes. He was interpolating different notes into other notes. He was just so much ahead of his time, and he was so far ahead of the changes. He was ahead of most people, and technically, you couldn't. Technically, on the saxophone, there's nobody really that's as futuristic thinking on the horn as him.
Has it changed? Do you find what you do or how you think about music, kind of tackling this particular project and thinking about his work?
It certainly makes me rethink everything that I've done. Sure.
Huh. Mm-hmm. You have a kind of unique position right now, and you've actually talked about this in some interviews, of being someone who is, in a way, now an artist who's in between generations. You were around to know some of the great giants of jazz, and now there's younger guys coming up who didn't even know that these guys were around and certainly weren't around listening to music when they were alive. Do you have a sense of that particular role and maybe how that's changed how you're approaching doing music or doing particular projects?
Yeah, well, the thing was, when I came to New York, the first thing I did was call up all the people that I heard about. I called up Eddie Blackwell, I called up Billy Higgins. I wanted to work with all these people when I got called up with Coy Tyner. I just called people up, Cecil Taylor, Ornette Coleman. I just called them up on the telephone. And to realize that you can actually do that is a great thing. I noticed that some of the youngsters now, they'll go to school, they'll call, when they do a gig, they'll call their classmates up, and they won't use all of this rich people who are still around. I mean, people like James Spalding, for instance. He's in my band. I mean, as long as James Spalding will play with me, I have an opportunity to stand next to him. It's a wonderful thing. Mm. And these youngsters, I think now, they have to realize that fame is you can use fame in certain ways, but you have to also, at the same time, you have to keep studying. And I'm sure that Eddie Blackwell is going to show me a little more than the guy who studied next to a guy in the classroom. So this is what, for me, you know, you have that keeps the tradition going on. Yeah. In a band, in a big band, an octet, the smaller my groups get, the older in age the people get. You notice that, too. When I get down to a quartet, I mean, we got about 200 years up there.
There you go. Let me ask you one final question, and I think one of the lessons that we're also all continuing to learn from John Coltrane is an element of spirituality that's at the core of his music, and something perhaps maybe you've been exploring in this context and also in some of the gospel things that you've been doing lately. Where does that element kind of fit into what's happening with jazz and the music particularly that you're making?
Well, to me, notes without spirituality are just like notes. You can't really do anything with them. I can't relate to notes without spirituality. Train, you know, unfortunately, Train was in a situation where he was, when he became more spiritual, unfortunately, he was becoming more sick. He was becoming more afflicted with cirrhosis or whatever he had. But it's a drag that we have to get sick before we can understand that the spirituality is all in every one of us all the time. And to me, I would like to get my music to the core of the spirituality. If I could just get completely off the page and just get straight to the spirituality, I would.
Well, I think we definitely had some spirits moving this evening. So once again, thank you very much for taking some time to talk to us and also for just a wonderful performance here this evening.
Thank you very much. I appreciate Chicago. It's always been one of my favorite cities.
Great. Well, thanks
a
lot.
I love playing here. Thank you.
David Murray here at the 2000 Chicago Jazz Festival.
With Chris Hyman, I'm Richard Steele here with our guest commentator, Kurt Elling.